going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
All right, top of hour number two, an hour away from Cakes. John Keim, ESPN, joining us on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Looking forward to that. NFL draft tomorrow night, or begins tomorrow night. Special coverage, an extended version of the Huffman Show from 4 to 8 tomorrow. And then it's Linnell Willingham. And it's Toby Altizer, joined us yesterday in studio. Linnell joined us, I think, on, was it Monday? Or was it last Friday? I can't remember. And we will have live coverage for you all the way into Friday morning, 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. for the boys on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. I'll be out at Command Land in Ashburn. We'll see if the Commanders make a pick. Tonight, we'll be at Capital One Arena, Capitals Canadians Game 2. That's over on 106.7 The Fan. Here on the Team 980, it is the Nationals and the Orioles, which we talked about a bunch in hour number one. So you have that. All right. So one of the things I like to do is take mock drafts. Hey, Mac, I don't know if you're like this. There's so many mock drafts from the people that you know. The Mel Kuypers, the Field Yates, the Doug Farrar, and all these people, right? Pete Prisco, all these guys. And I look at a bunch of them. I don't look at all of them. Nobody knows really anything. It's a complete crapshoot, right? You're taking educated guesses. Sometimes you might get a morsel of information that makes you think X, Y, and Z is going to happen. But almost in every case, it's either lying season or you're not getting any kind of credible information on what a team is actually doing. You're trying to look at your perceived team needs. You're trying to look at your perceived value of ranking players and others, and you're trying to kind of make a puzzle fit together. Again, nobody really knows anything, including myself, right? Including myself. I don't know what the Cleveland Browns are going to do at number two tomorrow night. I think we know what Cam Ward and the Tennessee Titans are up to, but I don't know what the Cleveland Browns are doing. I don't know if they're going to take Travis Hunter. I don't know if they're going to take Abdul Carter. We had Jay Paterno on yesterday. Of course, he talked extensively about Abdul Carter, Joe's son, college football analyst, author, Make sure you check that on the podcast, theteam980.com, or on the Odyssey app. I don't know what Cleveland is going to do. If somebody claims that they know what Cleveland is going to do, they're lying. They don't know. Right? They're a very heavy analytics-savvy organization. Sometimes that works for them, and sometimes it doesn't.
Would Shador be completely off the board in your educated guess for the Cleveland at two?
I don't think that should happen. But if you like, who needs a quarterback, quite honestly, more for the short term and the future? The Cleveland Browns or the New York Giants?
I'd say Cleveland.
Right.
100%.
Right, because now they had to swing a deal for Kenny Pickett. So Kenny Pickett's going to be their starter going into camp. And Deshaun Watson, obviously, they hope, maybe, sort of, I don't know. Or maybe they don't hope. Who knows? That maybe he's ready to go in mid-November, right? And inevitably, maybe that works out for them. But maybe because of insurance, I don't know how that works. Maybe they're hoping he never comes back. Either way, Cleveland, I shouldn't say that Kenny Pickett is automatically the starter, right? Because Joe Flacco went back there. So I guess it'll be Flacco and Pickett battling for the starting quarterback spot, and whoever loses that is number two. So I guess I shouldn't say it's Pickett automatically. I still think you would argue that Cleveland maybe slightly more than the Giants. I mean, look, they both need a long-term starter. I think we can safely say that. But I would probably argue that Cleveland might need it worse than the Giants. Because I think Jameis signed a two-year deal. Listen, you can get by with Jameis.
Yeah, Jameis two, Russell one.
Russell one. You can more than get by with Jameis. He's a high wire act, but Jameis is never going to embarrass you and be completely deer in the headlights, right? He's going to drive you crazy. But you can, if you have a good enough team to overcome some things, you can win seven or eight games, or maybe nine games with Jameis Winston. Either way, nobody knows exactly what Cleveland's going to do. Nobody knows exactly what the Giants are going to do. And anybody claiming that they do, okay. So I like to take these random mock drafts just to see what people are thinking, just to see what people are saying. So I found this one on SB Nation, right? We know SB Nation is SB Nation. Like, nobody should, you know, look at it as like some incredible gospel of information, some beacon of knowledge, right? But I just always like looking and seeing what other people's thoughts are. So this guy that did this particular mock draft is Caleb Yaccarino, who I've literally never heard of. Do you know a Caleb Yaccarino?
No.
Good. Neither do I. But it fits the mold. SB Nation, we have no idea what the qualifications are. Probably none. And he just took the time to do this, right? Okay. And I don't dismiss anything. I just say, hey, I don't know about this, but it's something to think about. But what got my attention is not what he did at the top of the draft board, which is Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, and Abdul Carter. Again, that all makes sense. Although what he did have was the Raiders trading up for Abdul Carter with the Giants. So you tell me, AMAC, real quickly, before we get to the Commanders pick, if you like this. Giants dump down out of three. They get number six overall, number 37, which is early in the second round. Plus they have, again, their own second round pick, which is the second pick of the second round. And a 2026 fourth round pick. So you get number six, number 37, and a fourth rounder next year for number three.
Who do we end up getting at six?
Good question. Because Abdul Carter goes to the Raiders at three. I'd be a little surprised if they're that aggressive, even though Pete Carroll isn't a defensive-minded coach and he ain't there to mess around. Number six would be offensive tackle Armon Menbu from Missouri for the Giants. And clearly, I mean, you can't say that they don't need help. Now, this is Will Campbell goes one pick ahead. I'm sorry, not one pick ahead. He goes number two picks ahead, the offensive tackle out of LSU. So maybe that's what they're thinking, is they're going to get one of the two offensive tackles. And because who's the kid? Evan Neal, right? He hasn't worked out. He's always hurt. He stinks.
But we got
Andrew Thomas is always hurt too. Now Andrew Thomas, when he's healthy, is damn good. But he hasn't been healthy for 2 years.
I'm not. A lot of people. He's an upper echelon tackle, but I wouldn't put him in the same like Laremy Tunsil.
No.
He's not in that class.
And he just hasn't played.
I would hate that.
You would hate that.
Yeah, okay. I don't think the Giants are in a position to trade back.
Okay. I think the Giants are in a position to trade back. I don't know if I love that, though. But I can't argue and tell you that they don't need offensive line help, because they do. We know that. That's been a major issue, despite the investment that they've made. Again, they drafted Andrew Thomas fourth overall. They drafted Evan Neal seventh or eighth overall. I think in back-to-back years, they drafted John Michael Schmitz in the second round 2 years ago.
They were spending like the third most on offensive line in the league.
They brought in a couple of Raiders last year, including a starter in Aluminor. Yeah, Aluminor.
And that's why I would say I would hate that, because he stepped in last year and played. He played decently. Yeah. He wasn't like a world beater, but he held up at that position.
Yeah, but clearly they need help still. Okay, and if you're saying, I'm not in love with Shedeur Sanders. I don't know how you can be. Like, I heard Lewis Riddick, and I love Lewis Riddick. But Lewis Riddick is like, I'm just waiting for somebody to tell me what's wrong with Shedeur Sanders. Well, I mean, where does the list begin? There's a bunch to like about Shedeur Sanders, but he doesn't have a booming arm. He doesn't have great elusivity and escapability. He was late on a bunch of his throws. All those sacks were not just on the offensive line. I'm not saying that that wasn't a major problem. It was. There's plenty not to love about Shedeur Sanders. If the Giants don't love Shedeur Sanders at number three, I mean, yes, you could take Abdul Carter. But if you could trade down a couple of picks and get two picks in the top five or so of the second round and a fourth rounder next year, I would like a little bit more than that for moving off of a premium number three pick, but whatever. All right, so anyway, that's that scenario. Moving down to the bottom of the first round. Now, keep in mind, this pick at 29 is made with the notion in this particular mock draft that at number 28, James Pierce, the edge rusher with football consistency issues and questions, goes one pick ahead to Detroit. We're going to get into something else that the Giants did in this mock draft in a sec, but the Giants made a trade up to number 27. I'll tell you who they picked in a sec. Maxwell Hairston, cornerback from Kentucky, goes at 26. Gray Zabel from North Dakota State, tackle guard. No thanks, I'm not doing that. I know there's been some success, Cody Mack and all those guys. I'm not doing that. Shedeur Sanders actually goes in this particular mock at number 24. In a trade up from the Cleveland Browns, right, with the Minnesota Vikings. Again, I mentioned the Giants also in this mock make a trade and hop Washington. But the reason why I'm giving you all this is because I'm setting you up to say that Donovan Ezeraku is already gone, 19 to Tampa Bay. I told you James Pierce has gone one pick before. Cincinnati takes Mykel Williams from Georgia, who a lot of people like and stop the run. Mike Green goes 16 to Cincinnati. Shamar Stewart goes 15 to Atlanta. So there's a run on edge, as I would think most people were kind of expecting. Will Johnson, the corner who we talked about out of Michigan, is gone at number 11 to San Francisco. Jalen Walker, who's converting from linebacker to edge, goes at number 10 to Carolina. So right now, as you look at this particular mock draft, a bunch of the edges are gone. Now, there are others available. I'm not suggesting that they're not, right? There are safeties in Malachi Starks and Amanu Wari from South Carolina available. There are other corners available. One particularly goes one spot below Washington. But this particular mock draft has a guy that Dr. Sabah wants desperately. Now, I think she's wrong in comparing him to LaDainian Tomlinson. I understand, like, we all want to do comparables, and, you know, he looks like, he reminds me of, like, I again, I don't like to slap that label on somebody. LaDainian Tomlinson was, you know, arguably one of the best, top 5 to 7 running backs of all time. Amarian Hampton from North Carolina at number 29. If the board shakes out the way it does in this particular mock draft, and again, it won't exactly, but if the board shakes out sort of similar to this, and Ezeraku is off the board, and Pierce is off the board, I mentioned Ezeraku, Mykel Williams, Mike Green, Shamar Stewart, they're all off the board. Would I be opposed at all in any way, shape, or form to take an Amarian Hampton at 29? A running back? Hell no. Now, would I still like them and prefer them to trade back? Yes. That's still my overall preference for any pick, any selection, any group. But if you told me that a bunch of the edge guys are gone, and arguably the top corner is gone, and some people have the top two corners, the Kentucky kid, Hairston, who's more of a zone corner. They play, a lot of man. If you told me, hey, man, we tried to make a trade or we explored, we just couldn't find the value. We think Amarian Hampton is really, really, really good. And he is the perfect combination of a physical specimen, a guy who can run between the tackles, not 25 times a game. He's not a 3 yards in a cloud of dust game. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's got speed. He's got power. And he can give us a better combination of skill set in one body than we currently have spread out over multiple bodies, meaning Brian Robinson, Austin Ekeler, who both have significant injury questions. Right? Certainly Ekeler, but you would say B-Rob too. And then B-Rob doesn't have the breakaway speed. I think we all know that. Ekeler does, but you got to use him judiciously. They're all on one-year deals, meaning B-Rob, Ekeler, McNichols, and Chris Rodriguez. It's hard for me to see any more than one out of those four guys maybe being here beyond this year. Maybe. It's hard for me. So, is running back a need? Yes. Can running back help you do a couple of things? One, wear down opponents. Two, protect your quarterback. Three, give yourself some extra juice in the offense. Four, help make up for some of the loss of Diami Brown and Olamide Zaccheaus. Why? Because a bunch of targets, a bunch of passes, a bunch of looks are going to go, presumably, to Amarian Hampton once he becomes comfortable in the offense, right around the line of scrimmage. And don't forget, you got to replace some of that. That's part of what made this offense good last year, is that around the line of scrimmage offense. We'll ask John Kahn all this. I know there are people that think, no chance, no way, you shouldn't draft a running back at number 29. I disagree with that. What do you guys think? I know we asked sort of similar the other day about a running back or a trade back. This is a different question. If Amarian Hampton is there, if the board plays out so that there isn't an obvious choice at edge, let's put it that way, and maybe some of the top corners are gone, would you be cool if the pick is Amari and Hampton? Or do you want Travion Henderson? I would imagine probably plenty of you want that. But would you be cool if it's A, running back, and B, Amari and Hampton at 29? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
You shut your mouth, I'll come out there and slap the syphilis right off your face.
Yeah, it would have been nice if Rock said that at WrestleMania, but instead he no-showed WrestleMania. But he was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, which he said Cody Rhodes is going to be a bad guy at some point. Interesting. Peter Schrager's got a new mock draft out. Oh, the new fancy-schmancy ESPN analyst. We'll go down that coming up, but I want to get a couple of calls in here before the bottom of the hour. Let's go to Jack in Calvert County here on the Team 980. Jack, good afternoon. How are you?
And thanks, Chris, taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for
being based on scenario, based on this scenario, I would take the running back because we need special players at key positions. I think we're very limited on special players. Like off the top of my head, you know, Terry McLaurin and Jaden Daniels. Those guys are special.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, relative to what we have and everything.
Yeah.
More key players, that especially the core player. He could be a core player. And like you said earlier, he doesn't have to carry the load because we still got Robinson and we got the receiver we got from San Fran. So
they
alleviate some of their workload.
Yep.
And my thing is, since all the key D-line guys are gone, Why not us be in the front of picking a key player at the right position? Well, thanks for taking my call.
All right, thank you, Jack. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. I mean, listen, I would say this. Ideally, You don't necessarily want to take a running back in the first round, ideally. But again, if things shake out the way they did, at least in that particular mock, and you try and trade down and you don't like what the options are, I wouldn't be opposed at all in any way, shape, or form to taking Amarian Hampton. I like Amarian Hampton better than I like Trevion Henderson. That's me. I can give you some numbers as to why. I just like his style more. I think he can be an every down back. I think he's tough. I think he's physical. I think he can slash. I think he can run through people. I think he can run downhill. I think he can run outside. I think he can catch the ball. I think he'd get better in pass protection. I'll give you some more numbers in just a flash. Let's get to Pauly here before we head to the trending alert. What up, Pauly? How are you?
Hey, to the W, man. Russell.
Hell of a Pauly.
What are you talking about today? What are you talking about today, man?
What's your?
I listen to you talk.
What's your problem? Wait, what's your problem now?
I listen to you talking heads around the draft time because I don't know all these players, and then I go watch them and form my own opinion. But you just confused the hell out of me with the cornerback from Kentucky. You say he's a zone guy, but they played a lot of man.
No. I said the Commanders play more man than typical and than normal than most teams do.
So he's forecasting him to us. I got you now.
Yeah. I could be wrong. I could be wrong on that. That's just my gut feel and based on, you know, what I've seen and what I've read.
So you just confused me on how you worded it.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. But no problem. Amarian Hampton. I like Amarian Hampton, but I don't think he's what we need. I think his ceiling could be Eddie George, and I think his floor could be a Lindale White. You know, but I don't think he's what – I think we already have Amarian Hampton and B-Rob. He's faster than B-Rob now, but he's not – but he's still not a home run hitter. I've watched a lot of his highlights, a lot of his films and stuff. He's not a he doesn't lead the pack. We need a home run hitter.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind running back, and I told you, I've been saying all along, my guy's Trevion Henderson. He can take it to the house.
Yes.
Right? He can run between the tackles, and he's also good in pass protection.
Do you think Trevion let me ask you this. Do you think you're absolutely right about Trevion taking it to the house, and he's got more breakaway elusive speed. Do you think that if you needed to, you know, if you needed to run him 15 to 18 times, not all of that in between the tackles. I understand that. But if that's what you're asking him to do, plus be explosive in a pass-catching type situation, do you think he can hold up? Or does it worry you like it worries me a little bit that Quinshon Jenkins kind of took over that role for Ohio State?
No, we're not asking him to be a bell cow. And you know, playing time in college is about politics, especially at a position that's a surplus. You know, running back, college teams usually have 2 to 3 running backs. And you see the professional teams doing that now, too. So, yeah, 15 to 18 carries, maybe even lower than that, is what you're going to see from out of him if you still got B-Rob and Austin Ekeler. So, I think he's what we need. This will be a learning year for him, a sharing year for him, and I just think he's the type of player we need. As far as the whole draft go, I'm gonna say this now. Listen, between the Cleveland Browns, the Las Vegas Raiders, and the New York Giants, if either of these teams have an opportunity to take Shedeur Sanders and they pass on him, it just shows you that they just still dedicated to being losers. Because neither one of those teams have a quarterback. I don't care about Geno Smith. He's okay. But Geno Smith is always going to be a bridge guy. You got one of these top five picks, you got to take a quarterback. And some of these mock drafts got him going 20, 24. He's not Pickett. This guy's not Kenny Pickett, man. It's not a game. And I'm not just saying this because he's Deion Sanders' son. But it's not a game that I watch Colorado play. And because he's Deion Sanders' son, is the reason why we was watching Colorado play. But it's not a game that I watched him play that I wasn't impressed with his quarterbacking. I really don't understand where all the hate for Shedeur Sanders
comes. I don't think there's hate. I just think there's questions.
But I don't see where all the questions are coming from. If you watch the man's tape, he can play the quarterback position. And I honestly think he played the position in college better than Cam Ward did.
I think he has more poise than Cam Ward.
Raw talent.
I think he has more poise than Cam Ward.
Cam Ward is just raw talent.
Yeah.
Shedeur Sanders is a quarterback. And if those three teams in particular, if they pass on him, like I said, to me, they just dedicated to being losers.
All right,
honestly, I don't see him getting past the Raiders.
We're going to come back and talk more about Shedeur because I'm running late for the break. But you bring up some interesting points. I know AMAC wants to chime in on about it as well. I'm not as high on Shedeur Sanders as you are, but I'm not as down on him as others are. I just think that, you know, Cam Ward, again, is going to give teams a little bit more upside. I think the ceiling is a little bit higher there for Cam Ward to climb to. But that doesn't mean you climb it.
When I see – real quick, before you let me go. When I see Cam Ward, I see Anthony Richardson. Ooh. Potential and talent. That's what I see. They got all the potential and they have talent, but can they put it together in the profession?
Yeah, I see Anthony Richardson being much more raw than Cam Ward is. But maybe I'm missing something. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate you as always. Good call there. Interesting things. AMAC, I'll let you weigh in on that when we come back. And also the Giants in that one mock that we had. Did do something I want to get your spin on, and I'll offer mine. And then we'll take a look at, again, what Peter Schrager just did for ESPN.com, being that he just came over from NFL Network. But let's get to a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Yeah, we start off with the NBA. We told you some Wizards news. Well, the New Orleans Pelicans have hired Troy Weaver as their new Senior Vice President of Basketball Operations. Why is that important? According to ESPN, first on that, I should say. Why is that important? Well, he's been serving as a consultant for the front office, Will Dawkins and Michael Winger with the Wizards for the last year and a half or so. Now he will join Joe Dumars in the newly reshaped front office for the New Orleans Pelicans. Last night in the NBA playoffs, the Lakers tied up their series 1-1. The Pacers took a 2-0 series lead over the Milwaukee Bucks. So did the Thunder tonight. In game twos across the league, it's Boston looking to take a 2-0 series lead over the Orlando Magic. Cavaliers trying to do the same over the Miami Heat. And the Warriors look for 2 in a row on the road at 9:30 against Houston. Meanwhile, game two of the Eastern Conference quarterfinals tonight, Montreal Canadiens, Washington Capitals. Capitals win 3-2 overtime. Alex Ovechkin, first ever career Stanley Cup playoff winning overtime goal on Monday night. He had two on the night. Logan Thompson expected to play once again in the net. No surprise there. Alex Alexiev expected also back in the lineup after taking a stick to the face and needing severe dental work. That is coming up tonight on 106.7 The Fan, 6:45, the pregame coverage, Odyssey app as well. Over here on the Team 980, game two of a three-game nighttime set between the Orioles and the Nationals at Nationals Park. The Orioles getting blanked by Washington last night, 7-0 on one hit. For the Orioles and the Nationals getting a real good start out of Mitchell Parker, as he has done throughout the year. You can hear it here on the Team 980 pregame coverage at 6:15 with Charlie and Dave. And that's what's trending.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
So that's the problem with the Knicks. And that's the problem with the Phoenix Suns. And that's the problem with Chris Russell. He don't want to listen.
This is true, although I listen more than you guys think I do. That was Paulie last week ranting about what were the first two teams again on that list? I didn't hear. The Indiana Pacers, was it? I can't remember.
So that's the problem with the Knicks. And that's the problem with the Phoenix Suns. That's the problem with Chris Russell. He don't want to listen.
There's lots of problems in the world. Listening is one of them. I listen when I want to listen. AMAC, are you a selective listener?
I think there are a lot of people who would say so, yes.
Mm.
I don't like to subscribe to that theory.
Do you now you're doing multiple things at once over there, so I totally understand the gig.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, if you're not answering the phone,
mm-hmm.
are you like really locked into what I'm saying, or are you kind of like, Jesus Christmas, just
to be honest, every topic, I'd say this a lot, every topic but baseball. Baseball is when, like, I can get into, I can get into the hockey. Let's do that hockey. 100% football, basketball, baseball is just like,
You grew up around here, right?
Yeah.
So you grew up with not having a Major League Baseball team right in your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why you think, or is it too boring? Or?
I think it's just boring. I was telling Brian, who's also in studio with us here. Before,
hello, Brian. He I can't see you because there's a big freaking monitor right in my face. Hi. I can see your hand now.
But I think they need to change the music. Like, that sounds boring. Like, let's get some better music. Take me out to the ball game.
Brian.
These aren't slaps here.
Brian. All right, Brian. He's not even paying attention to me. Brian, did you just hear him singing and butchering charge, which is a baseball staple, and then doing, I don't know, a falsetto version of Take Me Out to the Ball Game? What do you think this is, American Idol, for God's sakes?
No, but, like, if you listen to other stadium music, like, we got Jump, we got slaps coming in.
What do you think? They only play old man songs at baseball games?
I think my point is, like, if you think of football songs, if you think about stadium songs in other sports, you don't think
stadium rock.
Yeah. Like, you get, like, hyped music. You don't get.
I mean, listen.
Grab me some peanuts and more jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. Like, what are we doing here?
I mean, that's like, that song is like a baseball tradition. It's like 50, 60 years old.
Like everything else in baseball. Like, come on, let's update it here.
They've updated the game, man. They've added more wild card teams. They've added a pitch clock, for God's sakes. The game is better than ever.
Listen, I feel like I'm striking chords with you and probably a few of our listeners. So I just want to shut up now. I don't want to offend anybody, but
you know,
just,
Chris in Damascus is going to come after you.
Yeah, I'm sure he's not the only one. But listen, it's just not my speed. I don't think.
Okay.
Maybe playoff baseball. I'll check in and.
All right. But you have been doing the hockey, so.
Oh, let's do that hockey.
Okay. Well, first we got to do this thing about the Giants, right? So I mentioned this mock draft again. Amarian Hampton, 29 of the Giants to the Commanders. I would have no problem with that, especially if there's a shortage of edge pass rushers. And again, if there's a surplus of edge pass rushers, it's going to lead even more to the likelihood that they're going to trade out or down. But again, you have to have two to tango. Things change. Things happen. In this particular mock, though, the Cleveland Browns jump up to the mid-20s, 24, and take Shedeur Sanders out of the first pick in the second round. Also, your beloved Giants, who again traded down from 3 to 6 in this mock and took Armon Membu, the offensive tackle, arguably the second one on the board. You didn't like that trade. Do you like this trade? They trade with the Baltimore Ravens, and they come up and get the number 27 overall pick, They give the Ravens number 34, number 105, which is early fourth round, and a future fifth to get 27 and to take Jackson Dart from Ole Miss.
So I'm in this scenario, I'm guessing Shador is off the board at
yeah,
this point.
Shador just went a couple of picks earlier. Cleveland jumped up ahead of the Giants in another trade.
So I don't understand. Why can't we? No, I don't like it.
Do you like anything?
Yeah, I do. I guess I'm still stuck on the first trade, the trade mm-hmm. back for a tackle. Like, I would prefer Abdul to be on our roster and then figure out a way to still trade back in and get Jackson Dart.
Let me ask you this. I'm sure you can make it work. Smart defensive minds can make it work. But they've invested a lot of money in Brian Burns and some draft capital. Kayvon Thibodeau, they drafted a top five pick in him a couple of years ago. And I know he's coming close to the contract situation. And I know he hasn't always been consistent except for against the Washington Commanders.
Yeah.
Is Abdul Carter, look, any smart team can use Abdul Carter and, mm-hmm. and make it work and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But could you see a scenario where you say, well, again, we don't love Shador Sanders, certainly not at three.
Yeah.
But Abdul Carter right now, we don't even know if he would be able, if again, all things are equal and Burns and Thibodeau are healthy. We don't even know if Abdul Carter would be able to play a regular role.
You're saying he's going to back them up.
Well, I'm saying, like, if that's your option, meaning Travis Hunter goes number two, and you don't love Shador Sanders, which I don't think you should at three, despite what Paulie said. To me, it makes sense to move back. And then moving back from three to six does allow you to then be more aggressive in the bottom part of the first round. It's not then a killer to move back up into the first round. And teams do it without even moving back so that they get the two first-round picks on the five-year clock.
Yeah, I guess with my thought process is like those, like Mason Graham, Abdul Carter. Now, there are some just covering Abdul Carter throughout the year. He's definitely he's had some issues like towards the beginning of the year that he's improved on as yep. the season went on. But I think that his trajectory and his potential is far better than Kayvon Thibodeau's. So
I would agree.
I would like to see that pick versus an offensive tackle yet again after spending money on offensive tackle.
So your thought is eventually I'm going to take Abdul Carter now. I'll figure out what to do with him now because eventually Kayvon Thibodeau is not getting a second deal.
Yeah, I just don't, especially with Abdul there on the yeah. board.
Are
I don't
you even
think,
doing a five-year option for K, right? Isn't that decision due this year, right?
Yeah,
he's
I think.
He's been in 3 years?
I think, yeah, it should be coming up. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
So I I'm looking at him, if that's your game plan, taking Abdul, he is a trade asset to get yeah. back into the first round. Yeah.
Real quickly about Shador Sanders. Again, Paulie loves him. Lewis Riddick, again, was being defiant Lewis Riddick this morning, saying, I challenge anybody to tell me what they don't like. Well, here's what you don't like. Shador Sanders got the crap beat out of him. He's tough and resilient, but that's not all on the offensive line. Some of that is on a quarterback getting rid of the football and anticipating better and not holding onto the ball so long. Here's what you don't like. He didn't have the athleticism of never mind Jaden Daniels. He didn't have the athleticism of Caleb Williams, who's running for his life. And if he goes to a spot where there's a bad offensive line, sure, he's used to that pounding in Colorado. You know what's worse than a Big 12 pounding? Or where's Colorado now? Are they still in the Big 12?
Oh, this is Big 12, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
What's worse than a pounding in Lincoln, Nebraska on a Saturday night is an NFL pounding, right? So there's a lot not to love about Shador Sanders. Oh, and by the way, you got to deal with Daddy. Daddy Warbucks is always going to have a omnipresent feeling. And I think that scares some teams off. You have to be really strong-willed and strong-minded to deal with Deion Sanders. He has not been the factor in this draft that I thought he would be publicly. I thought we would be dealing with a complete disaster based on what he was saying about controlling where Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders goes, publicly, he has not made one peep about it that I've heard.
And I think that's what my pushback on that would be, is like, everyone assumes that Deion would be a problem, but he has never not played with Deion. So we don't know how Deion would be without his child on
correct,
his team.
Correct. But we know what kind of personality, what kind of lightning rod Deion is. And here's what you can't have, and this is what I learned, you know, just covering Robert Griffin III, is everything that Deion says, whether he means it or not, is going to come out as being a controversial statement about his son when his son is playing for somebody else. And that means when his son is playing great or good or poor or whatever, or is not starting or is not playing, like, Deion is always going to have his fingerprints in some way, shape, or form. A lot of teams don't want that. If you're Brian Daboll, you might not want to deal with that. If you're Joe Shane and you're fighting for your life, you may not want to deal with that. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. So a bunch of things for you to chew on. We'll get back to your calls coming up here on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app.
What a terrible name. It doesn't represent our identity. Horrible name.
Well, that guy sounds like an idiot. Who is that guy?
I don't know.
Who is that guy? All right, let's quickly squeeze in Lou here before we get to John Kime of ESPN. Lou, I got about a minute and a half for you. Go right ahead.
Go right ahead, man. Let's go Caps, man.
Yes, sir.
Other than that, as far as the draft goes, I think Jaden got enough weapon. I mean, I know it's not enough, but I would like a defensive game changer, and one of those defensive end guys, it would be a plus for me. But I trust the AP and the guys, man. So that's all I wanted to say. I mean, you got 30 seconds for me, so it is what it is.
I got a minute. I said a minute and a half, not 30 seconds.
I know. I'm just messing with you, Rooster. You know, I got love for you, man. Right. We cool. We good. We
so
good.
You think as long as Adam Peters is drafted, we're okay, right? I don't have to worry about anything.
Of course, man. Look what he's been doing. Chris, is that a question? I mean, look at us from a year ago to where we are now.
Yeah, things are a lot better. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. I mean, it just doesn't mean that they're, it doesn't mean that they're perfect. I mean,
Good. As far as, I know the signing of Kinlaw, people still, questioning him, but at the end of the day, they got plans for him, and I hope he put on some weight and be one of those big boys in the middle, just like Philly have. So that's what I'm hoping, because he's not playing no DN. So other than that, man, that's all I wanted to say. Let's go Caps and stop playing these. Like I told you, Chris, the other day, they play like 40 whatever minutes, and then they just kind of collapse. So they're not playing 60 minutes. And
it's one thing to blow a one-goal lead, as I said yesterday, and it's another thing completely to blow two-goal leads, and they've done it in two out of the last three home games, one playoff, one not. So I trust me, I totally understand. Thank you, Lou. Appreciate it. John Kime, ESPN. Next. Stay tuned.